surrounded by people who want to tell us where and how and when we can worship. We're surrounded by people, segments of our culture, not all of it, but segments of it, that want to tell us what we can and can't believe when it comes to Scripture, and how we should and should not believe when it comes to Scripture, and tell us that there are parts that we can just erase and remove. They tell us, just be the lamb, just be meek, just be quiet. But the church is so much more than a lamb. The church needs to be the promoter of God's grace and God's meekness and God's goodness and God's sacrifice. But I'm telling you, the other part of that, you cannot have one without the other. The lamb represents repentance. The lamb represents forgiveness. The lamb represents restoration. The lamb represents hope. The lamb represents all of those things that we need out of our Savior. But there's a component of the church. His name is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. There's a component of the church whose name is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. It is the name that is above every other name. It is the King that is above every other king. It is the Lord that is above every other Lord. And as much as the Lamb represents God's holiness and God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's blood and God's mercy and His sacrifice, the Lion comes in equal measure and says, I am the authority of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I am the authority of the church as was given in the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Ghost. We cannot have one and dismiss the other. Nor can we embrace one and discard the other. The church still needs the qualities and the attributes of the Lamb. But I'm telling you, church, the church still needs the qualities and the characteristics of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We live in a day where we need to be living in the authority that Scripture gives. We need to be living in the authority that the Lion gives us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This is the lion, or that is the enemy's goal. You see, the enemy poses as a lion. He is not the lion. Capital T, capital L. He is a lion. Lowercase a, lowercase L. But the enemy poses like a lion, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And as the enemy poses as a lion, one that has gone rogue in rebellion and anger. The devil is at enmity with God and His kingdom and hates everything that it stands for. He wants his own kingdom. He wants his own authority. The devil wants to rule with oppression and delusion and strife and division and hatred. The devil is seeking to kill and to steal and to destroy our lives and to bring with it an abundance of destruction. And we see that everywhere we go. We see that in our own lives. We see that in the lives of those who are hurting and that are broken, as the enemy has become a cruel taskmaster in their lives. These things are the campaign promises of our enemy, and there are no limits to the depths to which he will stoop to enslave every possible victim. This is the premise by which he rules. In a very real and very spiritual battlefield, he wants to intimidate us and to emasculate us. The enemy speaks devious lies to us. He tries to convince us that we are powerless and that we are weak. And that in that weakness, our only recourse is to give in to the kingdom of darkness and to accept those perverted, depraved, and broken kingdom principles. That's the enemy's desire. But how many of you know there's a very majestic and cosmic and epic word that goes in there, and that word is called but. That's what the enemy wants to do. But God wants to do something different. Come on. That is the enemy's goal. But God wants to do something different. There is another king. There is another kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world. John chapter 18, 36. A kingdom that will never, ever end. Isaiah chapter 9. There is a kingdom that has not been influenced or steered or perverted by the immorality of the world or its ruler, the devil. And it is a kingdom that is ruled by a stately king, an honoring king, an honorable king, a sacrificing king. A king that says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It is ruled by a king that says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have that life in abundance. John chapter 10, verse 10. A king that says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price, the price of my blood, the price of Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. There is another king. There is a lion, there is a lamb. His name is the Almighty, who is not an imposter, but he is the true lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who comes to give hope and healing, joy and laughter, repentance and restoration. The one who seeks to give and not to kill. The one who seeks to forgive and not to condemn. The one who seeks those who are lost to give life and not to give death. He is the one who never gives up. He is the one who never gives in. And he is the one who will never, ever sell you out to the other kingdom. He is the king. He is the lion. And he is the lamb who has come. The Bible calls him Emmanuel, God who is with us, God who came to us, God who is present with us so that he may give life and give it in abundance. And this king has given us authority. This king has extended to us the same power that raised him from the dead. Come on, somebody. This king does not reserve the power for his own. This king does not hold his power like a carrot in front of us, begging us to follow him. This king has given us the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given us power. He has given us the ability to overcome the evil one. He has given us the ability to overcome that kingdom of darkness. This king has poured out his spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. This king has poured out his spirit on every race, on every color, on every tribe, and every language, in every city, in every country, in every nation, across the entire globe. This king has poured out his spirit so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This king used that power to shake the gates of hell when he died. And it is the same power that shakes the gates of hell today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still setting captives free. He is still making a way where there seems to be no way. He is still conquering the enemy on every side. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the Lion and completely the Lamb. He is still the Savior, and he is still the Conqueror, and he still lives today, and he still governs his church today. He is the Lion, and he is the Lamb. And he has not forgotten his kids. Hallelujah. And it is that king that we celebrate today. It is that lamb that we celebrate today. It is that lion that we find our hope in today. It is that kingdom where we find our purpose today. And it is in this kingdom that will never end that we find our completeness, our wholeness, our forgiveness, and our destiny. The lion and the lamb, you need both. To eliminate or ignore one is to eliminate and ignore the very attributes and the character of God. The lion is the conqueror. The lion is the warrior. The lion is the victorious one, the protector, the one who vindicates and fights for his own. And we need that in the world that we live in today. He is also the lamb. He is the sacrifice. He is the redeemer. He is the broken one. The one who was beaten, the one who was crucified, the one who bled, the one who died for the sins of the world. And it is in this beautiful pairing that we see the completeness of Jesus and the completeness of the redemption of humanity. And it is in this beautiful, perfect pairing that you and I can see the completeness of us. Because we are all sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm calling it a message because I don't know what else to call it. I'm not sure what you're going to do with this today. I hope my prayer this morning as I prayed over this was that, God, I pray that this message today would encourage your church. I pray that this message today would empower your church. I pray this message today, as I prayed in my office, that would give your church courage to do what you have asked us to do. I pray that this message would remind us of who we really are and who God really is. I continued to pray and I said, God, whatever it is that your Holy Spirit wants to speak today, I pray that it would allow us to do what you have asked us to do in the day that we live in. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray as we close and pray a blessing over you, over us. And by faith, I believe that the Holy Spirit has done something special in you. As we have worshiped together, as we have prayed with one another, as we have received the communion meal with one another, and as we have heard a message today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for all of those things that we declared you are today, and that we are your kids, that we are your sons, and we are your daughters, and you are not dead, but holy God, you are alive, and you are active, and you are powerful, and you are moving, and you are setting free, and you are empowering, and you are giving courage, and you are still shaken on the gates of hell, even as we speak, to set those captives free. God, give us the courage that we need to do what you have asked us to do. Give us the grace we need to do it well, and the compassion and the love we need to do it right. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen today? Amen. It's been a little crazy, but it's been good to be in church. Thank you for being with us today. I love you lots. Thanks for coming. Love on somebody as you leave. A handshake, a high five, a hug if it's appropriate. And I want you to go today in the blessing and the power and the courage of the Lord. It's been a good Sunday. Love you lots. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.